The following recording offers you a number of different options for the Daf Yomi. It begins with a recording of this, the 13th cycle's Daf Yomi, and that's done rather rapidly, within a half an hour or less. That's followed by a quick review between 5 and 10 minutes, depending on the length of the Daf. After that comes the very same Daf from the previous cycle, done at greater length in much greater detail, with different participants in a different ambience. You could choose one for your original learning, one for review, alternate, or whatever you do, enjoy. Today's Daf in Masechet Shabbat, brought to you by Ben Chomot Yerushalayim, is Daf Hey. And we are holding right at the, fourth of the way down, Ela Omer Rabbi Zera. So what we've been struggling with so far is a way to figure out how our Mishnah could be mechayev both the Ani and the Baal HaBayit for doing Akira into a human hand, or from a human hand, or Hanocha into a human hand. We attempted to use Rabbi Akiva as a Makor, but found out that we had no proof that he would hold that you don't need Mokam Arba Al Arba, at least for Akira. We attempted to use Rebbe as a Makar, and we discovered that he only said that Klutak Mishun Chadamya, where we were talking about a Rishuta Yachid Mikora. So what is the solution? So today Rabbi Zera suggests a solution. Elam Rabbi Zera, Homani Achirimi. This is clearly must be going Aliba, the Shita of the Achirim, Titania Achirim Omrim, Amad bin Mekomo Vikibel Chayav, Akar bin Mekomo Vikibel Patur. Here we're talking about throwing a ball. Somebody throws a ball, and the individual to whom he threw the ball stands in place and catches the ball. Then the one who throws the ball is chayev. But if the one to whom the ball was thrown moves and intercepts the ball, so that the trajectory of the ball would not initially have landed in his hand, then it's not considered to be the complete maaseh of the one who threw the ball, and we do not have a chayev for the hotza'ah. But meanwhile, you do see that you would be chayev if you're omet b'mekomo v'kibel chayev. But how could that be? He caught it in his hand. And abayinan anacha makom arba'a l'arba'a v'leka. Don't we need a place that is 4x4? And if that's the case, clearly shmamina, that according to the acherim lo b'inan makom arba'a, must be that we do not require such a case. Not to mention that we don't even really need hanacha from here, because who's to say how it was caught? You think it was caught in his hand. Maybe it wasn't caught in his hand. Maybe it's talking about that he spread out the beged that he was wearing, and he caught it inside of his skirt. Or perhaps it was a hanaka that used some kind of glove that he caught it with that was very big, like we would do. Well, who knows? So you can't prove anything from here. Omar Rebaba, I'll tell you what it's talking about. The case in the Mishnah must have been referring to a basket. And that would explain everything. It wasn't referring to a hand. So the Mishnah, our Mishnah, is referring to Matinitinami Kigon. It's referring to a case of Akre Mitraskal, Viniach Agabe Traskal. You took it out of a basket or you put it down in a basket. We're over there, you have both. You have both Akira and Ikarami Anacha. What do you mean a basket? It says Yado, for heaven's sakes. Hayado Katani. Well, you know, read that as a basket in the hand. So today, Traskal should be Yado. Okay, fine. Let's assume that that's true. Let's put the Traskal in Rishuta Yachid. That makes sense. Problem is, if you put a Traskal that's in your hand into Rishuta Rabim, it becomes Rishuta Yachid. Now, what are you going to do? Because then the container itself is large enough. If it's Arba al Arba, then that would be a minimum shear for defining a Rishuta Yachid. If the Traskal has Mechitzot on the Traskal, those Mechitzot are considered to go downwards and create a Rishuta Yachid. Unless you don't hold that. I mean, maybe you don't hold a Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda. I don't know. So, Lema de Lok Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda, the Tanya, Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Na'atz Kaneb Rishuta Rabim. We have here the first historical record of a basketball. So somebody takes a pole and he puts a basket on top of the pole. Now, why would anybody ever put a basket on top of a pole? Okay. And he throws a ball and it lands right in the basket. Oops, malfunction there, huh? So Zarg v'nach agabav is chayev. Why is he chayev? Because even though it's in the middle of a Rishuta Rabim, he just created a Rishuta Yachid in his basket. So now he's throwing from Rishuta Rabim into Rishuta Yachid. So the same thing should happen if you're holding it in your hand. And the Traskal should create a Rishut HaYachid, because unless he doesn't hold of this. Because if he does hold of this, if he holds like Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda, so then we should be back in the same question. Because how would you explain the Mishnah Pashat Balabait Yadolachutz? You said the case is the Balabait sticks his hands out from Rishut HaYachid into Rishut HaRabim, and he puts it into the so-called hand of the Yoni, which is not really the hand of the Yoni. It's a big basket in the hand of the Yoni, which he's now essentially depositing in another Rishut HaYachid. So why is he chayev? It's been Rishut HaYachid, Rishut HaYachid, come off it. Oh boy, oh boy, I've got too many intelligent people here. I can no longer go on like that. It's hopeful, it's hopeless. And you claim you weren't here the first time, right, that we did Shabbos, or before the first time we did Shabbos. He's always convinced this is the first time he's learned the Masechta. Anyway, if it is, it means he already knows Shas by heart before he learned it. All right, could also be. So the Gemara will be talking about this in a moment. Answers the Gemara, as our president has suggested, it's not a problem. In order to have a Rishut HaYachid, you're going to have it at least 10 tefachim high. As the Rashba points out, Mala doesn't necessarily Mala, but at the 10 tefachim. But here we're talking about within 10 tefachim, and therefore it will not be a Rishut HaYachid all on its own. Of course, the problem is, why is it not a Carmelite? Because something 4x4 that is less than 10 tefachim should be a Carmelite. Okay, there's different approaches. Does this suggest in Carmelite the Kelim, and there never was a Rishut called a Kli, which is a Carmelite. We're going to see a lot more about this later. Just want to point out it should not be something we forget completely at this early stage either. Now, Kasher Leilu Rabbi Avu. Rabbi Avu had a little bit of problem with this whole thing. Namely, where the heck did the basket sneak into the Mishnah? I mean, it doesn't say anything about a basket. If it's so important that we're dealing with all of these variants, 16 different cases, in order to make sure we've hit everything we need to hit, and nobody mentioned the basket? Hard to believe. I mean, Mikatani Traskal Shabiyado, does it say anything about a basket? Oh, Yodo Katani. El Rama Rabbi Abo, I'll tell you, it's got to be talking about a case where your hand was essentially within 3 tefachim of the ground. So what it means is that you sort of bent over. Maybe you were bowing down to the Balabayat, hoping he would put some money into that hand or some challah into that hand. You know.
Marks.
And then you were Mekabalit. That's interesting, but the Mishnah says Haya Omed. It says he was standing. Well, he was sort of bent over all the way, you know? He was shoker. Or there's a better solution. Maybe he was standing, but he was standing in a pit, so that his hand was... his hand was right up against the... Or even a better solution.
He was a hobbit.
He is a hobbit. He's got to be an absolute midget. He's 1 foot high, and he's... So maybe that's what it's talking about. So either it could be shocher, or it could be talking about he's in a guma, or it could be talking about he's in anas. So it could work. Mama Rava, you got to be kidding. Tell me you're kidding, please. Ich built Tana Lashmin and Kolan. You're telling me that the Tana created a Mishnah in order to build it for midgets. Forget about midgets. Dwarfs. I don't believe it. Hello, my Rava. Look, the question answers itself. It's obvious that there's not going to be any type of complex solutions. If it's telling you that a hand is sufficient for Akira Va'anocha, it's because a hand is sufficient for Akira Va'anocha. Now, why would that be if you need a Mokam Arba Al Arba? Because a hand is, for all intents and purposes, the ultimate Mokam Arba Al Arba. Because what is the meaning of Arba Al Arba? Chashivut. The way in which a person handles things is with a hand, for God's sake. If that isn't considered to be a place that is chashuv, then what is? So yado shel adam chashuva lo ke arba'a al arba'a, by definition. V'chein ki ata ravin om Rabbi Yochanan, yado shel adam chashuva lo ke arba'a al arba'a. Om Rav Avin, Om Rav Eloi, Om Rav Yochanan, zarak chefetz, v'nach betoch yado shel chavero chayav. Okay, now let's get back to this other issue. You threw something. Lands in somebody's hand. You'd be chayev. Yeah, okay. So that's just an extension of this thing, right? My kamashman, yadosh adam chashuvelo karba al arba. I mean, that's what we just heard from Rabbi Yochanan. Amar Rabbi Yochanan chadazimna. Why are you quoting Rabbi Yochanan again? Because ma detem hanemi leyeched akshav huli adei. Avalechad lo akshav huli adei emalo. When we're talking about cases where the person is doing the hotza'ah has gone and determined that that's where he wants it to be. So that he can do, he can be mashiv it. But that doesn't mean that by definition, a hand without anybody's thinking, that he wants to use this hand as the Mokam Anocha, and it lands in the hand. That's what it's talking about. Vinoch. It landed, not that he caught it. So if that's the case, maybe that's not considered to be, by definition, Mokam Arba Larba. Therefore, he's coming along to tell me, Kamash Malan. Omer Rav Avin, Omer Rav Ilo, Omer Rav Yochanan, Amad Bimakom Ove Kibel, as we saw earlier, you throw it to somebody, he stands in his place, and he catches that ball. He's chayev. Okar Mimakom Ove Kibel, he's potter. But if he intercepts the ball, so that he interrupted the trajectory of the ball, he would be potter because it wasn't done as a result of the initial Akira when he did the Zrika. Because that Akira would have ended up somewhere else. And therefore, it's not the Akira that causes this Hanacha. Tanya Namiachi, Akirim Omrim, Amad Bimakom Ove Kibel, Chayav, a brightness, that's the same thing. Stand still, and the ball lands, you catch it, that's fine. But Akar Mimakom Ove Kibel Patur. And of course, that leads us to the obvious next question. What happens if you run and intercept your own ball? So now, is the problem over here, there was two separate people, or is the problem in the act? So that's the question. Boy, Rabbi Yochanan. Zorak chefetz v'ne'ekar hu mimekomo. So at the moment that he throws it, okay, he throws it, he wasn't standing there, and therefore there was no way that that was meant at that point to land at the point where he ends up running and catching the ball. So now he's interrupting the trajectory of the ball. V'chozer v'kiblo mahu. What's the question? How can we violate? Omer Vada Barava, the question is whether Shnei Kochot Ba'adam Echad can we violate? We're talking about two separate, what appear to be two separate acts that are coming from one individual. So what's the deal over there? Shnei Kochot Ba'adam Echad Ki Adam Echad Dami. Do we view that as the same person? Or do we view it as two people? So if you're going to tell me that Shnei Kochot Ba'adam Echad Echad Dami, then you would be chayev, because he has planned an akira for which he is going to provide his own hanacha. And that's not called two different minds doing two different things. It's all one melacha. Or do we say, or do we say, but that's not the point. The act is, for all intents and purposes, accomplished by two different people. The fact that it happens to be two different people that share exactly the same mind is irrelevant here. And therefore, you should be potter, teku. And that question will stand. Amr Rav and Amr Rav Yochanan, Yichnis Yado L'Toch Chatzar Chaviro V'Kibel Medi Shamim Vahutzi Chayav. Somebody sticks his hand into the next door neighbor's place, and he is a Kabel Gishamim, which sounds like he just had his hand there, and the rain went straight into his hand from a drain pipe, you know, and then he takes it out into Shatarapim, and he would be Chayav. Now, of course, this ties in directly to the original issue that we've been agonizing over, which is the status of a hand and Akira and Hanocha in a hand. The last thing that we learned was that a hand is considered to be Chashav Amokam Arba Al Arba, perhaps, according to that Shita. But now, let's think about this. If it rains into his hand, it comes out of a pipe, goes into his hand, why would he be Chayev? Matkifla Rebizera, I don't understand. Mami Yitino Chavir. The case of the Mishnah was that, fine, we've agreed your hand is a mokum of arba larva, but somebody put it into your hand. You said, if somebody put it into your hand, that's the classic case given in the Mishnah. You pull your hand out. It was the other person who did the akira. And over here, the drain pipe put the rain in your hand. I understand what the difference is. So what does it matter to me? Mali hitino chaveiro. Mali yitino shamayim. I don't understand. If God was the one who puts it into his hand through the drain pipe, you know, it's the old helicopter story, you know, or whether the neighbor put it into the hand. The point is, I did no akira. And, I mean, you can't call the akira my hand because the rain wasn't in that reshut in the first place. Oh, you're right. Let's change that a little bit. Lo tema kibel elakalat. It would be, in fact, potter if he had just held his hand there. But actually, he didn't just hold his hand there. What he did was he was collate. Now, collate means to collect. Not as you just did. That's yitin al shamayim. But what we think at this point that collate means is that the drain pipe is pouring out rain. He puts one hand in the way of the water and splashes the water into his other hand. And that way, he was oker it from the place where it was coming down. So that is already his business. Nobody put it into his hand. He picked it up, so to speak. by taking the rein and putting it into his other hand, and therefore he did the Akira at that point. Of course, the problem with that is it doesn't help, because rain pouring out of a drain pipe is not standing on a mokum of Arba al Arba, obviously. So therefore, if that's the case, it doesn't help. It's got to be talking about that the rain had come down and was flowing along the top of a wall. So the wall was wide enough to be considered a reshut hayachid all on its own, as we said earlier. And if that's the case, he was kolek mimakom that was arba al arba, and he was me'agabi akotel. Agabi kotel. But then that means it never stood still. It's water. If it's water and it's flowing down the side of a wall, how in the world is that considered to be a klita from the reshus of the friend? Holonach. Well, no, I don't mean that. I mean that it hit the wall so that the wall is basically wider at the bottom, let's say, right? And now it hits the wall, so that being as it's on an incline, that's considered to be nach. And we know that that's true from Rava. Can you hear me, Bekoto mishupa, where the wall is at an angle, so that the outside of the wall actually supports whatever is on it a bit. And that's considered to be anocha. So that would be the case here too. Okinami bekoto mishupa. I'm a little suspicious. Where did Rava say that? Hey, Heith Manda Rava. You know, the case, all that's done. Guy is reading a sefer. Now, a sefer, of course, in those days was a Megillah. It was a scroll. And he's reading it on the Iskupa. Now, the Iskupa, we're going to see, is a complex Rishut. Let's not decide right now. All we know is it's not Rishut HaYachid. It's not Rishut HaRabim. Iskupa is the entrance with the threshold of the house. And let's assume that it's a Carmelite. Let's assume that it's a Carmelite. And now with his Nitikal Gela Sefer Miyado, he lost hold of one of the ends. It's one of the dangers when you're reading scrolls, and it unscrolls and falls. And there it is. And it's half is in his hand, the other half is rolled out, and it's in the street. What does he do now? The halacha is kololot, so he has a right to simply roll it back. Now we're assuming over here, we're going to end up really, when we get to Erevin, we're going to see it's talking about really a Carmelite. The Sefer rolled in to a Rishut HaRabim, and there are two issues over here. First of all, when one part of a thing is in your hand and the other part is somewhere else, it is not considered to be not in that other Rishut. So there may be times when the Rabbanan or Gozer that you're still not allowed to bring the rest of it to you, but the question is, would they be Gozer on a Carmelite? Then it would be sort of a Gzera L'Gzera, A. Would there be Gozer for referring to something that has Kedusha, to leave it lying like that because we don't want you to drag it back, B. Those two issues, it depends how we learn the circuit. But in any event, it says over there so far, obviously this is really not important to us. We have to wait till we get to the piece that's important. And the other case was that Ayakori Barosh HaGag, happened if he's on top of a roof? Very dangerous to read a scroll on the edge of a roof because it rolled right off the roof and there it is, hanging off of your roof over the street. Oh my God, so what do you do now? Oh, for if it was Loi Giel Asarat Tfachim, we know the answer to that. Any place above 10 Tfachim from the ground in Rishut HaRabim is considered to be a Mokum Ptur. A Mokum Ptur that no Gezerot on whatsoever, then is considered to be in no space. And therefore I can pull it wherever I am. Rishut HaRabim, Rishut HaYachid, it's irrelevant. So therefore I can be Gololo Etzlo. Problem is, once it's hanging into the Rishut HaRabim, because it already got into the airspace of Asarat Tfachim, then I have to flip it so that at least it's not exposed. Everybody's reading, Leinei Kol Yisrael, or was that Bereishit Bara Elokim? That is not very mechubad for the Sefer. So let's flip it around so that the Ketav will be up against the wall. Now, we asked over there, and here's where Rava comes in. We asked over there, why in the world would we need to do that? If the Sefer, by definition, was never Nach, because it's not, even the part that fell isn't Nach, because it's just hanging in midair. So, besides the question of it's being partially in your hand, it never even landed anywhere else. So in what sense do you consider it, if it's simply dangling in the air, how can you consider it to be in the Rishut HaRabim? And Rava said, well, it's talking about that it hit the edge of the wall by the end of your house, on the edge of Rishut HaRabim, and over there it was wider at the bottom, so it hit a place on the wall where your house was sort of expanding outwards. So even though it's in the Rishut HaRabim, it's not on the Kotel. Yeah, don't you think there's a difference between a liquid and a book? I mean, it's all very nice to talk about. A book can sit on the edge of an inclined wall, and it's not going to move. But water? I mean, Eima Damarova the Sefer. A Sefer is Avi Denayev. Liquid? Mayim Yavi Denayev? What kind of answer is that? It's a Kota B'Shupa vis-a-vis a liquid. It's like, what? Because of the fact that it has to travel along the wall when it's flowing, so therefore it's considered to be not. What kind of not I know is that? That can't be the case. Ela Amar Rav, okay, I'll tell you how to explain the case. The case has got to be, the Chiddush is, Kegon Shekalat Me'algabe Guma. Actually, when it says that you were collated, it doesn't mean from a drain pipe where the water was flowing. The water was in a puddle on the ground, and you took it out of the puddle. Guma, I mean, what's the Chiddush in that? You're telling me if a guy sticks his hand into a Rishus HaYochid, takes it out of the Rishus HaRabim, he's chayv. Thank you very much. Brilliant Chiddush. Ah, no, you see, there is a Chiddush, because we're talking about a liquid. Where did we ever talk about a liquid before? So, did I take the liquid off the ground? That would be quite a trick. I took the liquid off of remaining liquid, obviously. How did I get all the liquid off the ground? So that means that the liquid that I put into my hand was not removed from the ground. Was removed from something which itself was liquid. Now, I don't know if that's considered to be hanacha. I mean, liquid by definition, the point of a liquid is that it's constantly changing its molecular form. Your pieces that were there before aren't there now. I don't know if that's considered to be hanacha. So maybe that's not called hanacha at all. So maybe that's lav hanacha. Kamash malan, that a liquid from a liquid is called hanacha. And by the way, this is very consistent with Rava's whole approach. In this, as the Rava l'ta'ami. Rava here is following his own approach, the Amar Rava. Mayim agabe mayim hayinu hanachatam. It's given to me that if you take water off of other water, that is the normal derech of hanacha of mayim. We don't look at each molecule separately. We look at a liquid as essentially a solid. If I take off part of it, and I took off part of a solid, it's like blocks. So I took off blocks from on top of other blocks. What's the difference if the blocks are molecular size? So that's basically what I did. Now, I'm definitely sure about something else, and that is, you take a nut, and you put a nut on top of a puddle of water, and you remove the nut into the Rishut HaRabim, that is not considered to be an akira, because a nut on top of a liquid is not considered to be menach agabi karka. It's only the liquid for itself that is menach agabi karka. But we certainly don't view a nut floating on water to be something that is in a permanent place. That's not called hanacha. My question is, relative hanacha. Suppose you have a plate floating on the water, and you put a nut in the plate. So now the nut vis-a-vis the plate is at rest. But the plate is not at rest itself vis-a-vis the water. So there's my question. It goes with Kli. And the Kli is Safagabimai. Do we look at the underlying space, or do we look at the local space? So Botar Egos, that's Lira. If you're just looking at the Egos... Well, you know, the airplane doesn't worry about the galaxy. You know? we're okay with that.
We just deal with the nut right now.
Do we go according to the egos? And if we go according to the egos is rest. Is what, locally, it's at rest vis-a-vis the plate. Or do we look at the plate? If the plate isn't at rest, how can we consider the egos to be at rest? And therefore, bata kli asleen. If we look at the kli, then we do not have a noch over here because it's still nayit. I don't know how to deal with that. Now, I have another question. The other question I have like this, which I'm going to announce to you, I'm not going to raise the question because I know it's a machloket, and that is different liquids that do not mix. Oil and water. So is the point over here liquids are little blocks, or is it because it's the same liquid, therefore it's a block? But I mean, another liquid on top of that liquid, it's certainly going to have oil and water. So suppose I have oil floating on something that is not going to mix with the oil, like wine, okay? A tfulion, now, this is going to be no gear, that machloket. Machloket Rabbi Yochanan ben Nui v'Rabbanan. Ditznan. We have a machloket in the Mishnah tfulion, which runs like this. Where you have oil that is floating on top of wine. So now what will define for us the din of tuma benogea the wine? Suppose a tfulyom touches the shemen. Now a tfulyom is not matami. Tfulyom only passes. which means that you cannot carry his tumah beyond that which he touched. By definition, something which is pasul doesn't emanate tumah, it's just absorbed tumah. So if that's the case, if we view the wine and the oil as being a single liquid, so then the entire thing is tameh. But if we view one type of liquid as separate from another type, then it's not going to go any further than the oil. Now that happens to me in Machloket, where over there we have the Tanakama, where it's, the Tanakama says, in that case, if a Tuyom touches the Shemen, he only pasled the Shemen. Lo pasel al Shemen bilvat. Whereas Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri says that a liquid is basically always, by virtue of its being a liquid, one with any liquid that it's attached to. And therefore, Shnei Mechuberim Zaleh, we don't need to transfer the tuma from the oil to the wine. The Tuyom touched the liquid in its entirety. And if that's the case, that would be our situation here too as well. If we need to view it as two separate liquids, and therefore, since they're immiscible, we don't view them as being one, then I'm not going to be able to call the Shemen Agave Yain Munach, because there aren't any little blocks here. Like, these blocks are moving vis-a-vis the oil. If it's all one thing, then it's all Munach Agave Karka. Now, we have one additional issue, which hasn't been 100% clear until now. We know that in the case where someone else puts something on you, which is what we've just finished talking about, whether God put it on you or whether it wasn't Munach when it got on you, the Balabayit put it on you, we know that that's not considered to be an Akira, because it wasn't Munach, you were not the one who changed its status of Hanocha. But one issue that isn't clear is the interrelationship of the intent of the Akira to the Maisa Hutzah. So suppose somebody basically happens to be carrying something in the house. Maybe he was planning on taking a bottle of wine out of the kitchen into the dining room. So he was ta'un ochlinu mashkin. And then he walks outdoors with it, you know, and maybe he forgot he was carrying it, walks outdoors, and looks around, talks to a friend, comes back in, walks outdoors. He does this all day long. So he's ta'un ochlinu mashkin v'nichnas v'yatzei kol hayom kulo. He would never be chayiv. Because he never did an Akira in the first place that was for the intent of carrying. And therefore, unless he stands, when he stands, at that point he doesn't do Akira, because as we've seen, the movement of the body out of a Rishus, for the first time, if he would stand in the Rishus Rabim, and now he would walk back in, that would be a new Akira. Says that by now it's not really only a function of standing. It depends why he's standing. Because remember that Hanocha is not simply a state of affairs that we measure in terms of physics any more than the Akira is a state of affairs that we measure. We measure it in terms of intent as well. So what was he standing for? What was his purpose in standing? Hushamad lafush. He'd have to stand in order to rest for a moment. If he stands still in order to adjust his backpack or something like that, that's not standing. He has no interest in standing. That's just a logistical move to make it easier to move your backpack. So that, and that's called the katef, for your shoulders. If you're standing lafush, then yes. And I'll prove this to you, mimai. Meaning, omamar, because we have the famous halacha about, which is the opposite case, but the principle is the same, where a guy is carrying in Rishut HaRabim. And remember, in Rishut HaRabim, we're talking about every Arba Amot is considered to be a new Rishut. So if you carry out of your current Arba Amot, it's entirely a relative Rishut. So we'll see more about this later. Up until now, the Rishuyot have been defined by some clear-cut delineation. Arba Amot Rishut HaRabim is a Rishut, which is the next step. We just spoke about relative Hanocha. There's such thing as a relative Rishut, and that defines your personal area of carrying. So you carry from the beginning of Arba Amot through the end of Arba Amot, and you just did a Maisa of Hotza'ah. But it says over there that if in the middle of those Arba Amot you stopped for a moment to rest, Amad Lafush, then the count starts again. Now this is a new Akira, and then if you only went Arba Amot, you'd be Pater. Now what does that show you? That Amida Lafush is considered to be a new Akira, but had you stood in the middle of those Arba Amot to adjust your backpack, or your pole, whatever it is you were carrying, probably a fishing rod if it's a Yisruchag. So if you were Omid Lekatev, then you would be Chayev. No, therefore it's exactly the same thing except in the inverse. Since that's the case of Tokar Ba'amot, where the carrying, if you stopped, would not be carrying, because I have to start counting Arbamot again, then if you're talking about Chutzla Arbamot, which we're talking about, it would be the exact opposite. If you were Omad Lafush, then if you stopped before you walked back into the house, then you would be Chayev. But if you were only Omad Lekatef, then you would be Potter. All right, great. So tell me something, this whole complicated discussion. Tell me the bottom line. The bottom line is Maika Mashba, not what? Shloitakiram Misharishalaka. You're quoting Rabbi Yochanan with this case of a guy who's walking in and out all day long. And I mean, this, I understand this already from what Rabbi Yochanan said in a different case. On Rabbi Yochanan Charazimna, Rabbi Yochanan already told us that principle, that unless the initial Akira is for the purposes of Hotza'ah, it doesn't register. The Omer of Tzah for Omer of Ami, Omer Rabbi Yochanan. Hamavir Chafetzim is Zavit L'Zavit. A guy is moving his furniture. So he's moving something from one piece of that part of the house to the other corner of the house. And then he decides, you know what? Maybe this chair would look nicer outside. So he goes and he nimlach leimatzion. He takes him outside. He's potter. Shaloi ta'akiram mishari shonalakar. Isn't that the same idea? But it's not only the same idea, my dear. It is the same idea. Even almost in its wording. It's just a question of amoroinin, amarmel of eilishna, mayerlam of eilishna. I mean, it's not only the same idea. It's the same case. He didn't talk about that he was intending to move his things. He left it up to you to say that. The other Mandiyama was talking about all day long. This one left it up to you to say that. But it's exactly the same case. Sometimes we have people who say things over in one way, something they say it over in another way, but we now have concluded this section. What is the requirement? The requirement is Akira, requirement is Anocha, requirement is Otsah, what is considered to be a Mokam Akira and a Mokam Anocha, what are the differences? She talked about that. Good.
Hey, Omer Aleph, right in the middle of the sugya, trying to figure out. Just remember what we've done so far. First, we discovered that there were two Rishuyas of Shabbos, Rishus HaYoch and Rishus HaRabi, and we gave examples of the Mishnah of how you would do Akira, Otsah, and Hanocha, and Bichayim, and how you could do either a Otsah with a Hanocha and Bipater, or an Akira with a Otsah and Bipater, but if there were two people involved, neither of them could be Chayim. And we had also four other cases of someone who was completely passive. He just sat there, someone took something out of his hand, but it didn't. Those were mutter. Then we got into another problem. And we started analyzing what's happening in the Mishnah, which is where we're holding right now. What happened about the hand itself? That's our problem. Everything was done in terms of the hand. If you would have given me a simple case where something was in Rosh Hashanah, Rosh Hashanah, I wouldn't have had that problem. Obviously, the Mishnah is trying to make life complicated for us. Density, information density, that's the whole point of the mission. The first problem we have with the Yad is we can't figure out if it's the Yad that is in Rishus HaRabim, but it was the body that it's attached to Rishus HaYochid, what status it has. We prove that if it's attached to a body in a different Rishus, it does not have the din of the Rishus that it's in, that's for sure. It also doesn't have the din of the Rishus to the body that's attached, it's also for sure. Because otherwise, you should be Chayev. Even if you put something into the hand of the Oni, let's say you're the Balabais, right? Because you already, if it's attached, you've already put it into that Rishus, and vice versa. It was already taken from that Rishus. So you can't have that din. Okay. That we proved. So we got into a whole issue then about, so what din does it have? Does it have some type of interim din? Is it a no space? Is it a Carmelite space? Fine. Then we left that, so again, we got into another problem. The other problem is, okay, forget about what din the hand has. But when the hand is together with the body in that same rishus, you put something into the hand, the Mishnah says you're chayav. Or you take something out of that hand, the Mishnah says you're chayav. Problem is that we know that the din of hanacha and akira requires an object to be at rest. And if it's in a hand that's not 4x4, it's not considered to be at rest in that rishus. So even if it's technically in this space, it's not enough to be in this space. It has to be munach. The munach has to be an amokam chashuv. An amokam chashuv is 4 tvachim by 4 tvachim. And that's what we were in the middle of. So we attempted a number of different theories. We tried to identify first, maybe the Mishnah is going according to Rabbi Akiva, who holds that kluta is kamisha hunta. That once an object registers in the space of a particular rishus, it's considered to be in that rishus. It doesn't require to be settled down. Turned out that Rabbi Akiva does not hold that applies to both Akira and Hanocha. So that didn't work. We thought maybe the din of Rebbe had a curious case of kids throwing a baseball through someone's window into the other, just on the other side of the block. That didn't work, because it turned out that Rebbe was only talking about where the baseball went through the living room window. So that basically the whole room was considered to be filled because it was covered. So that's a whole different analysis of space where it's covered. And that doesn't work for Rishus HaRabim. Because you can't have Rishus HaRabim that's covered. So our Mishnah, which is talking about Rishus HaRabim, half of the cases we're talking about the only standing Rishus HaRabim, got a problem. So that's where we were holding. We did not have a solution to how does it work to have a hand that's not four tefachim by four tefachim and still be chayev on your akira and hanacha. So that brings us up to Daf Hey, which is where we are. And we attempt now a new teretz. Ela Omer Rabbi Zera is where we're up to over here. Ela Omer Rabbi Zera, ha money akirim. This is going according to the Shita of the Akirim. And the Shita of the Akirim is the Tanya, Akirim Omrim. Does everybody have the place? Nine lines down. Akirim Omrim, amad bimekomo vikibel chayav. Akar bimekomo vikibel. No, it's not. It's not external. Amad bimekomo vikibel chayav. Here the question is, somebody's throwing a ball, and the person who catches the ball is standing in the place where it was thrown. He doesn't move to catch the ball. It's not, it was thrown directly to him. In that case, the one who threw the ball is chayav, because he did both the akira and the anacha, because it landed at this guy's baseball glove. But how about if the guy had to run in order to catch the ball and put out his glove and catch the ball? Then the thrower is putter, because then the person who catches the ball has interrupted the original trajectory of the ball. So it turned out that what it was that the original person did really was not mekuyam at all, because his kayach, which was originally meant to land at point X, didn't make it to point X, because somebody interrupted in between. Right? So in other words, somebody else had to do the act of the hanacha.
What if point X is actually the guy who has to move the throws off?
Yeah, but that doesn't matter. That's just his intent, but it's not the trajectory. In other words, as it stands right now, there's no place for it to land. It was meant to land there. Now it lands here. Why? Because I interrupted. Okay, so then that means he's the one who did the hanacha. Yeah, of course they're all put to it. But in that case, here we're talking about the Zorek. So the Zorek is put. But anyway, the point is that he's catching the ball in a glove that's not 4x4. So apparently there's clearly a sheet that holds that ball playing on Shabbos can lead you to a Chiyuv Chatzar. So apparently that's what's going according to. Don't we need hanocha in a place where you have four tefachim by four tefachim, and that's not what we have? Now, apparently, the Acherim hold that it's not necessary to have a mokam of arba'ah. Now, wait a second. I thought we said before that we have to establish both what the din is by akira and what it is by hanocha. But that was the whole reason we dropped Rabbi Akiva, because we only had one direction. In other words, we were willing to say that the akira and hanocha may not be definitive in terms of where it is, but rather how it's moved, you see. If it defines where it is, then whatever it is that I big oker has to be from the place where it was munach. They would have the same din. But if akira and hanocha are a definition of how I move something, then it's not necessarily true that it needs to be the same, the mokum that it's munach, or the mokum that I'm oker it from. All that you've proven over here is that you can do hanocha in a baseball glove. That's all you prove. You can't prove that if I take something out of somebody's baseball glove and throw it, that then that itself is going to be considered to be an akira, if I don't pick that ball off the ground. So how do I know it? Maybe it's dafka, that akira. Hanocha, rather. But dilma hanocha hu delo ba'ina. Maybe we don't need hanocha to be in a large 4x4 area, but akira maybe ba'ina. And you know what? You can't even really prove that the case over here necessarily wasn't 4x4. Because once he uses a glove to catch a ball, I mean, maybe the guy basically lifted up his skirt and caught the ball in his skirt. It might have been a little embarrassing, but you know, but it's worth it to make that catch.
Or a glove, arba-lava.
Or a big glove, yeah. Yeah. So in other words, maybe Pushit Knafe, maybe he spread his wings, nice way of saying it, and caught the ball. In which case, don't do that to me now. So that doesn't even prove that, because then ikanami anaka. Then this case would have even anaka kapi mokam arba. Omra, the Abba Rabbi says, look, the case, this is very simple. The Mishnah is talking about that basically he was using not a baseball glove, but what was that thing again they used there? That big, no, but those old rackets with the big, what are those things called?
Cricket.
A cricket thing, yeah. What is that big thing they use?
Lacrosse,
maybe it is. That's not South African, huh?
No. Ah. Yeah, North American.
Ah, North American. He doesn't want to say Canadian. So maybe it was a lacrosse racket. He's wearing, it's a trascal, basically. A trascal's a basket. So this is a basket. So, I mean, one could think that it necessarily had to be in a hand or in a baseball glove. Maybe it was in a large racket, and then it was 4x4. In which case, you have both, like, your hand on the hook, and everything is fine. But it says, yado shall balabai. It says, yado shall ani. I mean, this is not... Well, yeah, yado. I mean, trascal should be yado, you know? I mean, just put in that extra word. Trascal should be yado. The Mishnah is not coming to define necessarily the din of arba al arba. Now, wait. There's one problem. Let's take a look at the trascal. Okay, the balabayit just happens to be wearing a trascal in the middle of his living room. All right, fine. I'll accept that. But the ani, if he wears a trascal in Rishus HaRabim, that trascal being 4x4 becomes Rishus HaYachid. So now why would I be chayav putting it from one Rishus HaYachid into another Rishus HaYachid? It's amazing how the Gemara has managed to fit in so many different halakhas just by analyzing. It's marvelous, the information.
How does that work again?
Well, that's the question. Whether
Tosis,
huh? We're going to get to it. We're going to get to it in a minute. Is that your question?
Is he attached to it?
His hand remains attached to him.
No.
Well, the trascal is in his hand.
And it becomes
Rishus HaYachid if it's 4x4, assuming... Now, well, let's make sure that that's true. How do we know that that's true? Unless, maybe it's not true. If it's not true, then it's not going according to the sheet of Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda, because it's the sheet of Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda, who says that a basket on a pole is Rishus HaYachid. See, the problem over here is Rishus HaYachid has to be 4x4 tefachim, but it also has to be a minimum of 10 tefachim high. Now, the way normally we take 10 tefachim high is that the mechitzot are 10 tefachim high. If you're holding a trascal, where are the mechitzot? Let's say even if the trascal is 10 tefachim high, it's 4x4, 10 tefachim high, but there's no mechitzot. Generally, a space is defined by mechitzot.
The basket doesn't have size.
But the sides, in order to register, have to be 10 tefachim. That's the problem. Now, we do have halakhas that are, which we saw a lot of in Sukkah, about stretching. We could stretch the edge of a roof, for instance, right? We could stretch a wall, we could up or down, gudachit and gudachis, and pitikra, yoreg v'sotei. We have a lot of curious halakhal emotion misinais about the nature of mechitzos. Now, it happens to be that Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda holds, Natan, Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda, Omer, na'atz kanab reshut rabbi. You take a pole, you stick this pole in the middle of Rishut HaRabim, and you glue a basket to the top of the pole. Now, the pole obviously doesn't have 4x4, it's just a pole. The basket does have 4x4. Barosho Trescal. Then, this was, of course, the first... I thought it was the first basketball.
4x4.
It was the first, all right, well, it's a big basketball.
It depends.
It's about the size of a basketball.
It depends if the pole is 50 feet high.
That's right. I mean, it's better. But in those days, they didn't know they had those kind of basketball players.
They weren't using African...
Well, you talk about Quidditch. I mean, if it's Quidditch.
So it's Nubian ball players.
Okay. So what happens is, if you now move back, throw the ball up, it gets caught up there on the top, In your net, your chayip, because it's Rabin Tiyachid. So he apparently holds that the mechitzot in this case are the mechitzot of the trascal itself. You don't need for there to be a visible mechitzot of ten tefachim. Now, apparently, you hold not like Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda. I mean, then it could work. In other words, the guy is holding a basket in Rishut HaYachid. If you don't hold it, Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda, it doesn't become Rishut HaYachid because it doesn't have mechitzot. Is that what you're saying? I mean, you want to insist that our Mishnah is a non-recognized chalukah, a bar plukta of Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda. I mean, that's taking a drastic step. We're not familiar with the shita that doesn't hold like this exactly. So therefore, the Gemara wants to know, are you insisting that the Mishnah is not like Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda? The Ikar Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda. Because if you do hold like Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda, the moment the balabait stretches his hand out and puts it into the basketball, then he's now chayav because of the natana tov yador shel ani. I mean, he should not be chayav because he's going from Rishut HaYachid to a Rishut HaYachid. And now here was Avner's excellent question, which was Tosis's compassion, which is, okay, you're not chayav for taking from Rishut HaYachid to Rishut HaRabim, but why are you not chayav for being moshit from Rishut HaYachid to Rishut HaYachid with Rishut Rabim, the Emsa, which is the case of passing over the parts of the Mishkan from one truck to the truck to the next truck. Okay? And the answer is, Tosis bases his answer on the Yerushalmi. First of all, you have to know that the case of Moshit is limited to what's known as Diyuta Achat. The two, because the trucks were parked on one behind the other, so when you pass from one to the other, you have to be passing along the line of Rishut HaYachid and not across Rishut Rabim. That's A. So, first of all, you have to, in order to ask the Kash, you'd have to assume that it was Bidyut HaKat. That the door, in other words, the door of the Ani is standing on the edge and the Balabayat is passing, instead of across Rishut Rabim, along the length of the Rishut Rabim. Okay, but even given that, says Tosfos, it's clear that the Hoshata requires two participants. And he brings this from Yerushalmi. It's very interesting because the Yerushalmi actually asks that that's absurd. All over you say two people are doing a putter, and now you're saying it's only chayav that there's two people. What's going on? Okay, that's the thing we'll get into in the din of Hoshata and Zoreg. But this certainly doesn't fit the requirements of Hoshata. Not to mention that it would be quite a stretch to say that the Mishnah is talking about a case of emotion from Rishas Ayakat to Rishas Arab, Rishas Arab, Ayakat, Rishas Arab, Be'emza. I mean, with the whole point, especially that we Rava was learning this too, Rishuya, you're high of Arba, this. Okay. But anyway, so we can get out of your problem. Precisely how to get out of it, that involves that Yerushalm. Because, according to the Ezra Rebbe, it doesn't work on my Chayav. Rishutayachid or Rishutayachid come up. He's taking out from one Rishutayachid into the other Rishutayachid. Says the Gemara, no, it's very simple. Look, according to the Ezra Rebbe, the place where the Traskal turns into Rishutayachid is obviously only if it's Lamala Miyasara. Why can't the Ani be holding his Traskal on his hand Lamata Miyasara? If it's Lamata Miyasara, it never turns into Rishutayachid. Because it must have at least Mechitzot of Miyasara. Right? Now Tosfos asks, but wait, one of the nose spaces is a Rishut HaRabim without mechitzas of 10, but which is differentiated from the overall Rishus into an area of 4x4 tefach. So even though it may not be Rishut HaRabim, a Rishut HaYachid, it's no longer Rishut HaRabim. It has a din of a Drabonon Carmelit. So it wouldn't be a good example of Chayav, because you'd be putting it into a nose space. Again, I love the information density here, right? Because nobody's even bothered told us about all the dinim of Shabbos. We managed to sneak them in into this Mishnah. And there's a very important yesod. Tosfos explains that you have to recognize that the dinim of no spaces are not chal on objects within another space. In other words, you're not going to say that if I'm holding my hat, that now my hat becomes a space which is choshev b'fnei atzmo. A kli, an object of some kind, is not a space. So if it fulfills the full requirements of a space, so it's a real yeshiva buffer's hat. It's 4x4 plus 10 far from the hole. So then it's fine. Then it has the real dinim of a space. Right? But if you need to come on to its being a violation of the space in which it's in, it's bottled to its space. It doesn't create a new space. No, a hand is not an object. We'll see that actually a hand is a special case is what we're going to be getting to. So therefore, our Mishnah is talking about Lamata Me'asar. There is such a thing. There is a folding. There's a folding serving table which is called a Traskal. I'll shame the basket weave of it. We use it also nowadays. It's very popular to have a basket weave picnic. What do they call them? What? No, the outdoor furniture. What's the word for the type of weave? Oh, for goodness gracious, what's wrong with you guys? Wicker, thank you. Save me. Wicker it is. Yeah, that's worth 10 shekel right there. So, there was one little problem with all of this which Rabbi Avu didn't like. He keeps getting back to it like a aching tooth. It doesn't say Traskal should be Yodo in the Mishnah. It keeps saying Yodo. And whatever you're going to tell me, I can't accept this. I mean, Mi Katani Traskal should be Yodo. Yodo Katani, it says his hand. Therefore, says Rabbi Abu, it's a very simple solution. It must be that his hand is within 3 tzvachim of the ground. And the din is that anything within 3 tzvachim of the ground is bottled to the ground. That's called lavud. So if it's within 3 tzvachim, it's lavud. So the guy has his hands all the way down on the ground.
This is beginning to sound like one of these Calvin the Hobbit.
Wait, it gets crazier. Hold on. You haven't heard anything. We're just starting it. So what's the case? Kigon Shishil Shelyado, Lamata Mishlosha Vekibla. So you're bending over. But yeah, but it says Omeid. It says the Oni is Omeid Bachutz. If he's Omeid, how could he possibly have his hand down on the ground? Oh, that's simple. He is a dwarf. You did it. Now there could be another. There's one alternative to the dwarf, and that is actually the guy is 7 feet high, but he's standing in a hole.
Yeah, that's more likely.
All right, so that's one possibility. He may be shochet, or he might be bending, or maybe he's in a hole, he's in a guma. He's a dwarf. There is a little bit of a problem with the guy who's in the hole, because if he's in the hole, then the hole is a different response. I think it's infinitely complicated over here. So what would be the case of the guy in the hole? So Tosis explains there's a klal which is called Rabim Mishtam Shimbo. In other words, you can have areas which normally would have been Rishut La'atzmam in a Rishut Rabim, but everyone makes use of that particular part as the way that they use the Rishut Rabim. So in other words, let's say they would always hitch their animals up to that place or something. You know, that remains Batal to the Rishut Rabim. That must be the type of thing it's talking about over here. And we'll see a lot more of that later. But the Gemara says, I mean, come on, you got to be kidding. Omar Rabba Ichbo Tana Lashmeinan Kolhani. The Tana now has gone out of his way to create a totally insane case that we can only figure out to now that the guy is a dwarf. Or he's sitting in, I mean, why don't you just say, you know, you stuck your beged in or something. I mean, Bishleimich was telling me a straight out understandable Kiddush. I mean, okay. He's not teaching me anything. All he's doing is making me crazy, and I have to figure out some kind of absolutely bananas case. And that's what he's talking about in the Mishnah. I don't believe it. Elo Amarava, I insist that indeed the Tana is teaching us something very important by very virtue of the fact that it's unreasonable to say that this is a special case. It's not a special case. And that's the whole point. The Tana is teaching us that Yado Shel Adam Chashuva Lo Ke'arba'a L'arba'a. Since the din of 4x4 is not a din in Rishuyos, and it's not Halacha L'Moshe Misinai, it simply comes from our sense of what at rest means. A hand is the most at rest thing that a person has. He thinks of that as a place that is secure. That's even a way we talk about it. I want to keep it at hand. We use it as a synonym for security. So you're telling me a hand has to be 4x4. That's the point that the Tana is making. A hand is, by definition, the equivalent of 4x4. V'chein ki yosa raven am Rav Yochanan. That's the point that the Tana is making here. Is yado shel adam chashuvalo ki arba'a al arba'a. Comes along Rav Avin and quotes Nomachor Ketanin. So Amr Avin, Amr Avilo, Amr Rav Yochanan, which seems to be really just restating this, because Rav Yochanan just said it, Yadosh Rav Cheshuvalo, that namely, Zorah Krebetz Menach Betoch Yadosh HaChavero, Chayat, if you throw a baseball into another guy's hand, you're Chayat. Micah Mashmon, I said, so what are you teaching me? That Yadosh Rav Cheshuvalo Karbal Arma? That's what Rav Yochanan just said. But why did Rav Yochanan have to say it in two different ways? I mean, it's the same statement. Amr Rav Yochanan called a Zimna. Ah, but, you see, it might have been understandable where the person who is doing the malacha is the one who is machiv his own hand. In other words, I feel my hand is to me secure, attached to me. I'm doing an akira or I'm doing the anok. Fine. But in a case where somebody is standing there, and I throw something into his hand. Doesn't even say he caught it. Lands in his hand. Boom, wow. That's a shot. Is that also considered to be arba al arba? Or since the other person really wasn't thinking in terms of catching, it wasn't an issue. It's not that a hand is a makam arba al arba. I might have thought. Garmashman, that it's the nature of a hand to be arba al arba.
isn't the hand that's throwing it?
Yes, but the hand in which it lands
is also.
And maybe it requires consciousness and intent to be Arba Larva.
Okay, so
but Mashmana, it doesn't.
It doesn't.
Doesn't.
And so if it's still Rishus HaYachid,
it's whatever it is. It's wherever it is. That's not the issue to be Rishus HaYachid. It's only the issue Arba Larva in terms of Akira and Hanocha. Not in terms of being a different Rishus. We're only trying to figure out why it's considered to be at rest in a Rishus. It's not that the hand is defining the Rishus. Amar Rav Abin, Amar Rav Eloi, Amar Rav Yochanan. Amad bin Kobo v'kibel chayav. How about if you're throwing a ball for yourself to catch? Throw the ball up. You stand where you are now. The ball lands, you catch it. Okay. So then, enokinami, then you could... I'm sorry, this is... we're not up there yet. The other guy we're talking about. The other guy was Amad v'kibel, he's chayav. If he's Akam in the Komo, v'kibel, he's potter. And this basically is the Tanya that we had before. Tanya nami ochi. Acherim omrim amad b'makomo v'kibel chayav. Akar b'makomo v'kibel patur. That we understood. Now how about if a guy's throwing it to himself? That's the shayla. Boy would be open. Zarak chayf is a guy throws a ball, runs, which is very common, runs himself across the field, catches the ball when it lands.
Before
it lands.
As it lands.
Yeah. Well, no, he was four amas movement. So now the question is, what would be that din? Michael Mibayle, what's the logic that he's asking? He's asking whether, in the same way that we said before, if another individual gets in the way and catches the ball, then we say that the original trajectory of the ball was interrupted by the other person who now has done a hanacha. Two people who do a hanacha, one who does the akir, one who does the are part. But if it's he himself, we can look at it as if it's one Akira and Hanocha by the same person. Or we can say, since for all intents and purposes, in interrupting the original trajectory, he becomes another person.
Interrupting.
Yeah. He ran now to catch the ball where before it was going to hit the ground. So he's acting as a second person. Does that now, as separate, in other words, I did an Akira. Okay. Now I did a separate Hanocha. Even though it happened to be me, and even though it happened to be my machshava originally to go catch it, but since it wasn't innate in the act at that time that it would be caught, so then maybe it's like two completely different people who do it.
But you threw there intentionally from the run and has it to people.
It's not. Because the Shabbos is like this: is a malacha of Shabbos considered to be a single act that I do? So in other words, I now do it. I throw a ball onto a vest. So there, at the time that I threw the ball was going to land in the basket.
Right.
And physically speaking, I completed the malach at that point. Right? But if I, or even if it's not a basket, it's another guy's hand. It's the same thing. Okay, what makes the other guy's hand another person? The fact that the original trajectory of the ball would not have landed in his hand, right? So therefore, the other guy who before was nothing but a basket, all of a sudden becomes another person. And since he's another person, I didn't complete the whole malach. Fine. Now the question is, I place myself in the position of that other person. So it's true it's the same person as doing it, and it's true it's all one mamach shabba, which by the way could have been in the other case. I threw a ball in order for the guy to go run and catch it. It wouldn't have changed anything. So over here, it's one mamach shabba, that doesn't mean anything. Right? And the question is whether that interruption itself makes me a different person, and in terms of this malach, it's like two people did it. Because the one who did the first part is not the same one, even though he's physically the same one. But vis-a-vis this malacha, is not the same one. No, no. That's what the Chaim is pointing out. That the machshava lechatchila. Oh yeah, you're talking. Even though the machshava, correct. Even though the machshava was the same, but that's true about the other guy too. My machshava could have been for him to run and catch it. So anyway, we know it's not the machshava that was the essence here. Take. We don't have a solution to that. Omer Avavin, Omer Yochanan. Somebody sticks his hand into another person's chatzar. The kibel megeshamim, he takes now rainwater, the hotzi, and removes it into Rishut HaRabim, so he's chayav. What do you mean he's chayav? I thought you said, isn't this the case in the Mishnah, essentially? He only sticks his hand into the chatzar of a balabayit. The balabayit puts something into his hand and he removes it. What's the difference whether the balabayit puts something into his hand or the clouds put something into his hand? How can he be chayav? He's potter. Somebody else did the akira, right? The cloud. The akira. Not the anochah. He does the anochah,
right.
But he never did an akira.
Right.
So I understand. So how can he be chayav? It's exactly the case of the Mishnah.
Right.
If the balabai put it into Estigamar, Mali Tino Khabiro, Mali Tino Shamai. Who cares if the owner of the house, his friend, put something on him? Or if Doc put something on him? I mean, the point is, he never did the act of Yachira.
Just drops fell in his hand, just talking about.
Raindrops are falling on my hand.
That's it.
That's it. Lo, you're right. We can't read it this way. Lo tema kibel ela kalat. It's got to be talking about, he wasn't actually kibel, but rather he saw to it that the rain would be knocked off of its trajectory into his hand. So he puts one hand down on the ground and knocks the rain into his other hand as it lands, right?
He doesn't do that. He's just standing in the middle of the rain.
Because he wants to illustrate the Mishnah, and they're taking pictures of this, and they're going to be showing it in that other galaxy. They don't care that it's his Shabbat.
I think there are aliens somewhere in there.
So therefore, he was higher because he did the Akira. But wait, if he's just knocking raindrops out of the air, why is there an Akira from a place that's Arba al Arba? The rain lands on top of the wall, and he basically gets the rain on the wall and knocks it into his hand. So what? What do you mean on a wall? On a wall, the water is flowing off the wall. Flowing down the wall. So what kind of Akira? There's no Hanukkah. Your problem was that there was no Hanukkah of the water for him to do an Akira. The water is basically just running off the wall. Why is that called Munach? Baholonach? It wasn't stopped on the wall. Well, Rava says if you have a wall that's on a diagonal, that's called a Hanukkah. So Akanami Bekoto Mishupa, it's talking about a wall that's not a straight drop. It's got a 45 degree angle on it.
Slowly, maybe.
And well, right now we're assuming that Rava would have held that if it's not going directly down, it's considered to be at rest, which seems a little crazy. But that's what Rava says. Really? Where does Rava say that? The case that Rava says it is on a Mishnah, which is talking about a guy who's reading a Sefer. Now, in those days, a Stam Sefer was not a zebra romance novel. It was a parchment Sefer. Sefer Torah, Rachumet, something like that. So it unrolls. He's reading and it unrolls, and now it's rolled down, into the other Rishus. So what does he do? Can he roll it back up? That's the question. So he is reading this Sefer on the Askufa. Now the Askufa itself is a Carmelite because it's got, basically, later on the Mishnah, the Gemara explains that it's talking about a Carmelite because it's adjacent to a Rishut HaRabim, and it's not 10 Tvachim high, anything between, yeah, so that's a doorstep. It's between 3 Tvachim and 10 Tvachim high, which gives it a din, if it's 4x4, of a Carmelite.
What is the Askufa itself?
The Askufa is the threshold.
What?
The threshold.
Threshold of the door.
Yeah, next up against the street. He needs a little bit of light, so he's leaning out over this threshold.
Between
Rishut HaRabim and Rishut HaRabim. And the Sefer rolls out of its hand. And it's Galga has Sefer Miyado. No, he's holding one end. And the other end rolls, right?
Part of it.
That's right.
It's all on the ground floor.
No, we're going to see. Rob is explaining that he's not on the ground floor. So go below it slow. He can roll the Sefer back to him. Why? Because anyway, he is in a Carmelite. And therefore, since he's still holding one end of it, there's no Akira. And the Rabbanan didn't even aser Mishum Shvut to carry into a Carmelite without Akira. Now, had he dropped the entire book, he wouldn't have been able to bring it back into the Carmelite, but also only the Rabbanan. But if he didn't drop the entire book, if he's still holding one end, so then it never is considered itself to be completely in the other Rishus, because he's still holding the end. How about if he's up on the roof? Now, it's hanging, okay? He's holding one end, and the Sefer now is hanging in the air over the Rishut HaRabim. What about them? It depends. Since Rishut HaRabim doesn't extend over 10 Tvachim from the surface, so once it's 10 Tvachim above the area of the Rishut HaRabim, it's considered to be in a no space, right? And therefore, you could just roll it back because you're allowed the chatchila to carry from a no space onto your roof. So that's fine. Mishi giyala sarat tvachim, but once it hits the Rishut HaRabim, and now it's entered within 10 tvachim of the ground, about the height of this table, then it's in the area of the Rishon Rabim, and even though he still is holding one part of it, he has to be hofko ala ktab. What he should do is he should turn the Sefer over, so at least not to allow the Sefer Torah to be exposed and just hanging there all Shabbos. They'll see the back of the parchment, and the writing will be up against the wall. So whatever covet we can give the Sefer, we should give the Sefer. Knock. Can you dash in there and get the batteries? Yeah. These are hard questions. The only way you can get an answer to this question is by sticking around for the rest of the family. Okay.
How did it turn into a Carmelite
something? That's Kufa is a Carmelite.
I'm sorry.
That's Kufa is a Carmelite because it's less than Tokanai. It's more than three Tokanai. Okay. Meanwhile, we've discovered another din.
Between
three Tvachim and ten Tvachim, a 4x4 space is a Carmelite.
In what area?
Wherever it is.
Outside of Rishus Yalkut.
Yeah, it's a separate Rishus because it's raised.
Between
the inside of the house, by definition, a threshold had to be raised in order to hold the fresh. Seriously, that's where it came from, right? When I just said no. They used to put threshings down on the floor to catch the dirt, you know. And then you would wipe it. So the threshold was that which held the thresh in place. It was straw down on the floor. So it was less than, huh? An entranceway that was a bit higher to make sure that the straw would stay on the floor in the house.
In the whole house?
Yeah, in the whole house. No, in the house. In the house so that they could keep it clean. Prevented the thresh from blowing out.
From the equivalent of the plastic sofa covers.
Basically, yes. Exactly. Okay, so now we're getting to Rava's case. So the Gemara asks over there, Vavina, but we asked over there on that Mishnah, Amai Hovkal Aktav, what's the big problem of bringing the Sefer back up? Since anyway it was hanging down in the middle of the air, it was never knock. It's just hanging loose. Why can't I bring it back? It isn't really in Rishon Rabbeinu. And that's where Rava said the wall of the building was on a diagonal. So actually, this was the Leaning Tower of Pisa, but on the other side, not the one that they dropped the apple from. So this was the one where they did the experiment about the speed of the apple along an inclined plane. Okay. So as the Sefer drops from the roof, it hits the side of the wall. So now it's knock on the wall. That must be the case of the rain in the other guy's rishus. It was basically flowing off of a leaning tower of Pisa. That explains it. Except for one minor problem. Rain has a tendency to keep moving because it's a liquid. It's something I understand. Even the Omer of the Sefer, the Ovid deny it. Yeah, I mean, Rubber was talking about a scroll that does have a tendency to come to a stop. But mine? Last time we looked, I never noticed water having a tendency to come to stop on an inclined plane. It seems to enjoy rolling right along there. So why in the world is that the solution to the case?
In 30 below zero, it froze.
There we go. Richard, you're on it today. That's the Gemara.
Yeah.
Hello, my brother. Kegon shekalat me'agade guma. What it's talking about is that there was a puddle, and you took the water off of the puddle. So now what's the chiddush? Obviously, you took the water off the puddle. That's a standard akira. So what's the point of saying it? So in pshita. It's not pshita. Because if you take water off of a puddle, then that water is not really knock on the ground. Because after all, it's a liquid on a liquid. You're taking a liquid, so you're taking basically, I mean, any liquid is by definition not knock, because each molecule is, that's what makes it a liquid, is the fact that it's not knock. If it were really at rest, it would be a solid. That's why Richie said the case would be where it froze. That's the point. So we'll see later, actually. So I might think that that's not called hanaka, because we should look at each molecule separately, and there's not any water that's at rest over here. Kamashmalan, that we look at a liquid as a single entity being at rest in whatever it's contained in. And actually, this is Rava's Shita, as the Rava the Taime. The mode of referring to at rest in a space of a liquid is as a liquid. That's what hanaka means. But to put a nut on top of water, let's say I'm floating now a nut in this puddle, the nut is not considered to be at rest, because the water on which the nut is resting is itself not at rest vis-a-vis the nut. In other words, if you're part of the water, then you could say you are a single entity. The nut is not a single entity with the water. And therefore, the nut sees the water as being a liquid that is moving around, that is not at rest. So the nut certainly would not be at rest. But where it gets interesting is, how about if the nut's on a toy sailboat? The nut is on a toy sailboat in the puddle. Now, the sailboat is not at rest. It doesn't matter how big it is. It's floating around on the puddle. But the question is, if the sailboat defines space for the nut, then the nut is in a resting space, which is itself not at rest. But that's the question. Should we look at the space vis-a-vis the nut? Or should we look at the nut vis-a-vis the underlying space?
How is it different if the nut is not at rest, if it's sitting on the water?
Right.
And the
but that's because the nut knows the difference between the water and the ground.
But the boat
now put a little boat in between the nut and the ground.
But the boat is also not at rest.
But the boat is at rest as far as the nut is concerned.
Take a
look at you. You're moving around like a sugar dan. You're on a boat.
I mean, do you notice that you're on something?
Right. Do you notice you're on a little rock in the middle of space?
You know,
that's right. On the back of the great turtle.
Mud
makes a difference. Mud is different. So now that's my question, says Robin. This is a serious problem. Do we say if an egos is inside of a kli, and now the kli is floating on the water, do we look at the nut? As far as the nut is concerned, its local space is at rest, and therefore it's nayach. Or do we say, but consider that the very kli that it's in is itself not at rest, so maybe locally should be defined by the space, not by this nut's local space, and therefore it should not be at rest. Alo nayach, deny it. Bottom line is, it's moving. Take him. Now you could see that Einstein was raised on the Masechet Shabbos, and once you're raised on this, you start thinking about life differently.
Can you imagine if the cosmology was more advanced and they realized how fast the planet was going in the solar system of the universe? How unbelievable!
Whatever the Tanya Tola or it's Albalima is the ultimate non-anacha. Take now. How about if you have two different liquids with different densities? Can you then say that this is actually amazing? I just love it. So then do you say that you look at the liquid as an entity? Or does the fact that the different densities force the liquids apart means that you can't look at it as one entity? So suppose you've got oil floating on wine. And we could have had floating on water as far as Shabbos is concerned. But we want to compare it to a case in Truma, Legabi Tuma, in which case it's wine that's important because it doesn't seem as water that could be Truma. So we took this case, but don't let the wine part throw you off. So you have oil floating on top of wine. That's a machlokas of Yochanan and Nuri and the Rabbonim, where, in terms of the din legabe tuma, when it comes to truma, so there it says shemen shetzafa gabe yayin v'nagat tful yom b'shemen lo pasar ala shemen. If you have a tful yom, now tful yom has a din of a sheni. And therefore, he can passel truma, because a sheni passels truma. But since he's not tamei, he doesn't turn that sheni into a rishon. So therefore, the wine on the bottom is only in touch with oil that has become basically a shlishon. And it can't be makabel tuma from a shlishon, assuming that they're different. If they're all the same entity, fine, then they all were makabel tuma directly from a tful yom. But otherwise, we got a problem. Because when I say shlishi, I don't really mean a shlishi. It's not a shlishi, a shlishi by truma, but a pasul. Something that is pasul is by definition not tamei, because tamei means something whose tuma can be detected because it emits tuma. Something that's pasul has been affected by tuma but won't emit tuma. So you can't possibly call it tamei. Because a tuma detector won't detect any tuma there.
It's been impacted
by tuma, but it's not tamei. Curious case. So we call it pasul. Because it has all the problems of being tamei, but you can't call it tamei.
It's not contagious.
It stops there,
right. So therefore, the shemen is the last thing that became pasul. Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri says, no, because they're both liquids, despite the fact that they have different densities and vicosities, shnei and mechubarim zelazeh, they're considered to be one entity, and therefore they were both mekabel tuma together. Amar Rav Abba, Amar Rav Yochanan. Just to clarify matters, There's nothing wrong with walking in and out between Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur and Rosh Hashanah Rabin all day long, carrying. Because if you started the day on Friday with a whole backpack full of Ochlin Umashi, you come into the house, you go out of the house, you come into the house, you go out of the house, come into the house, go out of the house, all day long, you will never be chayav until such time as you finally stop and then go again. Because that stopping is just anokha, but then you have to make an akira and another anokha. So if you don't stop at one point, you never did an akira and anokha, and therefore, for all that people think you're carrying, you never carried once. Omer Abayev, when we say you stop, we don't mean you stop for a minute because you were getting a little tired of walking in and out for the past 20 hours. We mean you stop, really, because you need to adjust your burden. We mean you stop actually to rest. So, fush amad lafush. But if you stop because you were getting all out of whack and needed to readjust your backpack a bit and pull on the straps and so on, but you didn't intend to sit there and get a little bit of rest, then that's not called stopping. How do I know that? Mimai, the Yom Amar Toch Arba Amot. This is talking about a guy who's carrying Arba Amot Bershut Rabbi. He stops within the Arba Amot. If he stopped Lafush, he rested for a minute, and then he continues to walk, he's potter, because he didn't carry four Amos Bershut Rabbi. He stopped before the four Amos. He only carried Bershut Rabbi from the beginning of Arba Amos to the end of Arba Amos. So that he didn't do. But if he stopped L'chateh, just to adjust his backpack, or what he's carrying on his shoulder, then he would be chayav, because that's not called stopping. That's just part of walking, is you adjust your burden. The opposite is true if he stops chutz li'arba amos. If he stops lafush, he's resting, then that's anaka. So at that point, he's chayav, because he's past the four ama mark. But if it was l'chateh, if he's just fixing his backpack, then he would be chayav. So I understand. So what's getting back now to what you said, Rabbi Yochanan said, that if you carry all day long, what's the chiddush in that? Because the original Akira, which you did before, what you did was basically, you pick up something. You never had any intent to carry this out, right? Now all of a sudden you go out, or you go in. He's saying you're potter. Why are you potter? Because the Akira originally was with no intent to carry it out. Was not for that purpose. Okay? All you intended to, in other words, hayata'un means a guy is in his house. He just took something out of the fridge. He's about to put it on the table. All of a sudden, somebody calls him outside. He walks outside carrying the thing. He's potter. Because the akira that he did was in order to move it to the table, which is completely mutter. There was nothing to do with the hotzah. The hotzah that follows afterwards is without an akira. Because that akira that he did in the house in the fridge is not related to the act of hotzah, which was only thought of afterwards. It's not part of the hotzah. That's how hayata'un. Whether it was Biba Odeon, we had a case. Then if it was hotzah, was it from Alecha Shabbos? Or in this case, even if it's on Shabbos, right? But the problem is Rabbi Yochanan already said this. Because Rabbi Yochanan said, Om Rav Safra, Om Rav Ami, Om Rav Yochanan, basically the same idea, instead of the difference being that he was ta'un from before Shabbos, or somebody had given it to him and he never did an Akira. Here the case is he went, he's picking something up from the fridge and he wants to set it down on the table. And he changes his mind and he goes out the door. What's the difference whether you say it the first way or you say it the second way? It's the same idea, exactly the same idea. If I didn't do an Akira with the specific purpose of removing it from this rishus, I'm potter. But it's not kamina whether you use the example of somebody put it on me in a day, or I went to the refrigerator and meant to take it to the table. It's the same thing. You're right. It is. It's Amorayim, you know. This is, Rabbi Yochanan said it once. The different Amorayim expressed it in different ways. It's one thought. Amorayim, umar amar lava hadalishna, umar amar lava hadalishna. One said it in one way, one said it in another way, but basically it was a single thought of Rabbi Yochanan. Okay, so just to review. We ended up, finally, with a simple, straightforward understanding of why the Mishnah chooses the case of putting something in someone's hand. He didn't have to be a dwarf, he didn't have to be standing in a hole, and he didn't have to have a basket attached to his hand. All of those cases were not necessary. On the contrary, the simple approach is, the Mishnah talks about a hand because a hand is the equivalent of arba al arba, whether the person intended to use it, or whether a ball just landed in his hand, That's the definition of arba larva for a human hand. That closed up the whole first sugya. Then we got into the question of the relationship of the original akira to the completion. So the first question we spoke about was whether that akira created a trajectory that would have landed in this place or not. It had to be the same trajectory. Then we question, what about if it's the same person who interrupts the trajectory? We left that with a taker issue. Then we started talking about what's the din of an akira where something seems to be in motion. It's liquid, what's on the edge of a wall. So that got us tangentially into the question of hanging. But that wasn't the point. We only brought that in to discuss what's the nature of akira of a liquid. Turns out that a liquid is considered to be at rest. Meanwhile, we spoke about what's the relationship of a solid object to the liquid, and what's the relationship of a solid object on another solid object to the liquid. Okay, those were all questions of the nature of akira. And we ended now with this question of what was the purpose of the original akira, which is a new idea. Was the purpose part of an act of hotza'ah, or was the purpose for something else, in which case it wouldn't be included in the hotza'ah? Nice, straightforward, pleasant, exciting. And if you're working in a patent office, the best way to pick up all kinds of expert figures is...